this either is, has been, or will be a Krypton Radio production as soon as we can get the TARDIS working properly to figure out which one it is!
The Mark of the Corsair, fantastic bloke. He had that snake as a tattoo in every regeneration. Didn't feel like himself unless he had the tattoo or herself a couple of times. Ooh, she was a bad girl!
And so are we!
Wait a minute.
Where's Mad Woman?
Something's missing here.
Mad Woman!
Hello, hello, hello!
Hello! Earth, sorry, Gallifrey to Mad Woman. Oh, what's that, Corsair? Okay. Apparently she's locked in a room called Planet Personal Crisis. Okay.
Oh, there
we go. Been there, done
it's
that.
It's rubbish.
Bought the t-shirt, it sucks. We are not going there, so. In lieu of her, I am Time Siren.
And I am the awful husband.
And we are your co-hosts, conspirators, cohorts in crime for this week. As we mentioned, Mad Woman will not be with us. She's dealing with daddy issues, i.e. dad in hospital. So we're sending her our love and wishing well. So we've got a bit to talk about. We do want to focus more these days on cosplay. Unfortunately, the universe doesn't want to help us out with this. And it has been a very slow last 2 weeks. Past post galley, and I don't know if that's because the galley hangover just kind of, you know, left bodies in its wake and the Concrud hit. I know, Nasser, you and I got kicked with Concrud before the convention.
Yeah, before.
Yes, it was more like office crud, and it was like, I am going to take you down before galley, and you are not going. And we both raised our middle finger to it and said, we are going, and you are not. So,
well, I got really sick on a Thursday and Friday, and that's the weekend I had to go to the writers' conference.
Yeah.
So I sick through that, and then I'm recovering through the week, and then we get galley. So I barely had time to recover from that crud.
Yeah. So you were doing the writers' conference the weekend before galley, and then Monday I came down with the plague. So we just barely got over it in time for me to not infect my sister and 3,000 plus. Attendees at galley, and galley was awesome this year as usual.
Oh yeah, it was really good.
Ooh, I just have to say,
and two doctors and two recent companions from the new series, that was great.
Yes, and we did actually have a scare in that it looked like Billy Piper would not be able to make it. Galley was told she couldn't because she had the flu that's going around the UK, and then at the last second, like 2 days before the convention, she confirmed she would come. I did notice when my sister and her daughter were getting an autograph for Fireplace Gal that Billy Piper had a pen in one hand and a tissue in the other and was constantly putting it up her nose. So poor lady. But she was a trooper, and I really thanked her for coming. And she's like, oh, no problem. But, you know, flying with sinus problems, there is not much more to torture you on Earth than that. So it was fantastic of her to come. The only thing I didn't get to do was even see Arthur Darvill. I had lots of side encounters with stars, Daphne Ashbrook, Paul McGann twice.
In the elevator.
Yes, in the elevator. And couldn't do anything about it because you were there. Anyway, but it's like that at galley. If you've never been, oh my God, you could just run into a star coming in and out of the bar. You could sit down
especially
with them,
especially the bar,
have a drink. Yes, well, that's the natural habitat of Brits. Yeah, of those on Starship UK. They get off the plane, head straight for the bar. They don't even check into the room. I mean, this happened at the Airtel. It happens at the Marriott. It's just a fact of their DNA.
And I thought it was just writers. It's all Brits.
No, it's all Brits. It's all Brits. Well, last year I saw Rose Tyler's mom coming out, and she looked completely trashed. And I thought, oh my God, she looks like a homeless woman. I wasn't even sure it was her at first. And somebody said, well, no, it's just that way because she just got off the plane. Well, I saw her at the end of the convention, and she didn't look any different. She still looked like a trashed homeless person. So I think tone down the makeup next time, lady.
Well, this is a 7-hour flight if you go straight. Yeah. So that will wreck you. And it's 8 hours difference, so you're screwed up.
Well, when we first caught Palm again in the elevator, it was like, what was that, Friday morning?
It was Friday morning, yes.
He was scruffy. He looked like he had not slept in 20 years. Big bags under his eyes. And somebody had said they had caught him in the green room. Or, no, it wasn't the green room. It was upstairs in the lobby. He was clutching a cup of coffee and just going, and look like he had been run over by 747. So even the hottest, most handsome men are not immune to the jet lag of jumping the pond. It isn't just a hop. It's a drag you through the Atlantic Ocean the entire way with your mouth open and every crud thing falling into it. So anyway, well, we're diverging here.
Yeah, when you think about it, it's a third of the way around the world.
Yeah, that's not pretty. It's not pretty. It's not fun. And it's going against Greenwich Mean Time. So yeah, we're going backwards in time. So other than the haggard looks of the stars and how everybody was kind of wrecked going there, it sure didn't dampen the energy at all.
No, it was a great con. Yeah. It was full of energy.
Yeah. I did not see the Tiki Dalek until the last day, but I am glad I got to see it.
Yeah, he came back.
Yeah. Yeah. Good old Kevin Roach. Yay. And they had a beautiful panel up against the wall, and this sucker must have been 8 feet tall. It must have been 15 feet wide, and it was this gorgeous airbrushed image of the latest Doctor's TARDIS and the very last one that Matt Smith was in, the control room. It was gorgeous, and everybody and their mother was posing in front of it. They threw Daleks in front of it to pose, and everybody that got a chance posed in front of
it. It's right out in the hallway, so anybody can just walk up and take a picture. It was great.
Yeah, yeah, and they, on the opposite side where they were charging money, but I don't think it was too much, the Paul McGann console was back. And I know Leslie and Annie got to see it, and they thought it was gorgeous because I don't think it was here. Well, it wasn't here the first year they were here, or they somehow missed it. But
they must have missed it because I think it's been here. I think this is the third year.
Yeah, they somehow missed it the first time, but they saw this and they thought it was lovely. Which, oh, Steve Hugger's wet dream. How can you not think that thing is incredible? So there was plenty to see. They had coffee clatches. And they were pretty open to sign up. And I know there was one for David Gerrold, and I tried to drag you out of the charity auction to go down and have one because it was free. But yeah, I noticed there weren't a lot of signups when we first got there, so that's a good time to get there.
I just felt that I was in charge of the silent auction part of the charity auction, and there was a little mix up with the wording there.
Yeah.
But so I didn't want to leave unless I knew everything was okay.
Yeah. We actually adapted to it pretty well, not having the blood drive this year. I don't know if I'd want to do it again. I much prefer doing the blood drive, but it's a good
cause. The blood drive is my passion, so I'm really hoping it comes back next
year. Yeah.
They just had so much going on.
Oh, man.
That they didn't have room for us this year.
Yeah. We got there, and there was like one box of stuff somebody had donated, and I looked at that and went, that's it? But then it started flooding in once the room opened up. And the entire weekend, all the way up to closing, we kept getting more and more and more stuff. Arthur Darville signed his own playbook and playbill and put them in among the nice, really big, nice treasures. There was a script from Big Bang Theory signed by all the cast. And then that was the kind of quality of some of the high-end stuff
there.
They
was a cast picture and an 8x10 glossy of the whole cast of Big Bang, and they had all signed that too.
Yeah, so I haven't heard the numbers yet for how much the auction pulled
they
in.
They raised over $7,000.
I am not surprised.
The only thing was that they usually with the silent auction or the charity auction,
yeah,
is you go to the auction and you don't see what's up in merchandise until they show it, and here we have how much you want to bid for it. So the idea of the silent auction was have a room to display everything to get more interest and, you know, generate more money.
Yeah.
And the other idea of doing that was to shorten the auction. Well, this auction still went on for over 4 hours.
It did. But, you know, I don't think I have ever heard they've gotten that much money before. I think that in that it really, really helped.
It did help.
But there was some miscommunication about the number of bids and what kicked something to auction, which really wasn't the case. Everything ended up going to auction. A little bit of confusion on that, but they're refining it. I think they will kind of do part of this again next year where you get to preview everything, because I think that more than doubled their intake.
Yeah, just the charity. Just the fact you could see what's up for auction really helped. Mm-hmm. So that was a good idea.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So also, we ran into, actually, they came to us. That's what I like sometimes about sitting one place long enough, all the cool people come to you. I was sitting up at the auction. It was the one time you had gone out of the room during the day, Murphy's Law. In walks this guy with a huge TARDIS underneath his arm.
Sad I missed that guy.
It was like 2 feet tall. The sucker was made completely out of Lego. And my eyes just bugged out of my head when I saw it. We started taking photos. We put it down on a table. And Mad Woman actually interviewed him. And it was awesome. So I have actually wanted to... I've decided I'm going to run this as kind of our opening video on our new YouTube channel. And that, I'm going to try and get that up in time for this podcast. If it's not, I will announce on Facebook and Twitter when the new YouTube channel will go live. Right now, that is, it'll be the only thing we have. But it's really, really awesome. Mad Woman talks to him about, you know, his inspiration for it, where he's had it. The fantastic thing about this one is it had signatures from the most amazing people. Apparently the, I can't remember the name of the group that Madwoman's always talking about. It's,
That's why we need her here.
Yeah, I know. Madwoman! Anyway, they have a lot of connections and ties. They were able to get Matt Smith's signature on the TARDIS, David Tennant, Steve Moffat, you know, all of the really big, you know, stars. Yeah. They signed in with a silver marker all over the doors on this TARDIS on all four sides.
All the panels.
All the panels.
Doors,
it was fantastic. And the best thing is this gentleman said he's going to make one for next year for Gallifrey. Something like that. If he can get it signed, you're going to fetch such money for that. I'm sure that thing could get a few thousand on its own.
Yeah.
Seriously.
With all the signatures on it, yeah.
It was.
It was a very good Lego TARDIS.
It was very well done.
I seen the beautiful video. It was very well done.
Yeah. So that was fantastic. And it's things like this that, you know, our station manager, Gene, he, you know, the creativity and the costuming, you know, he's been encouraging us to do more, and having the channel will help in that matter. We're also going to be hopefully writing articles. I've just got to get my stuff together and jump back in time a couple of years, write all my articles, and then come back, and then I'll be all set. Because I sure don't have time in this time track to do it. The other thing I wanted to say about Gallifrey, I didn't get a chance to take a lot of photos just because we were kind of caught up there. But if you go to livejournal.com, there are a few people that have taken tons of photos and have done some blog entries. They link there like they do for Twitter. That's like the first thing they do when they come home is they link up all their images, all of their journal entries. Well, with Live Journal, we found one today that's fantastic. This couple has, you know, they flew out here for Gallifrey, and it's wonderful. Here's a picture of the husband, and these are the froggy photos. You know, the you pay your money, you know, the froggy photos throws you in front of the blue screen along with the star. You get your picture, and then they kick you out, and they run like 100 people through.
They're very efficient.
In like 15 minutes. Good. It's incredible. So there's a picture here. The gal is cosplaying Charlie from the Big Finish Audios. Her husband is arm wrestling Paul McGann. It's fantastic. I'm going to put a link for this. I'm going to embed the images in the new website, and you got to see it. It's really great. You know, Paul's there with his mouth open. He's kind of going, "Roar!" You know, like, it's just the funniest thing I've ever seen. They look like they had a blast, and I think they were first-timers to this, you know, to the convention. So, if you did not get your tickets, oh my God, when they go on sale this month, check the Gallifrey1.com website or their Facebook page or Twitter. They will announce. They actually bumped the sale of the tickets a week or two further down the line in March, and we talked to Sean Lyon, one of the committee members and the founder of Gallifrey. He says this thing is going to sell out probably in a matter of hours.
Last year 72 hours. Where last year sold out in about 12 days.
Yeah, so it's not a matter of days anymore, folks.
Just, and this is before they announce any guests.
Yeah. They haven't. And he told me his ambitions for next year's guests. All I got to say is you better come or you're going to hate yourself this time next year if you don't. That's all I'm saying. Nobody's confirmed, of course, but he usually gets what he wants. In fact, he wanted John Berryman this year, but Berryman is shooting in Australia, and that's the only reason he didn't get him. So for you Torchwood fans out there, and you Berryman's babes, you know, this is the kind of thing that you're missing if you're not coming. So you can go to Live Journal and do a search. Gallifrey One Picks, or look at their DW underscore cosplay group, which is where all of their, you know, the people that go to the conventions, Galley, Dragon Con, all of these conventions, they put up their photos, but more importantly for the cosplayers, they put up their sources of their, you know, their fabric, their materials, their props, their costumes. If they're selling something on eBay, like I've seen Doctor jackets go on there, you know, McCoy's umbrella, not the actual one, but cosplay replicas, they get the first notice there, other than having the search on your phone or computer and getting dinged when it goes up. If you haunt the cosplay, the DW cosplay group, you will find out faster than anybody. And usually, I'm telling you, Dennis, I've seen a couple of those posts after the auctions ended.
Yeah.
They usually end within 5 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. So you, but you have the potential to be able to jump on something that would save you a lot of sewing and or construction time, especially if you don't know what you're doing and you got the money to drop. This is the site on LiveJournal. You really, it would really help. They have detailed instructions. They actually have detailed instructions for every single doctor's costume.
And that is awesome.
And the fabric sources and who is currently creating, you know, reproducing them, and links to their pages. So it's an awesome place to go if you want a costume, if you actually construct costumes, you know, and you're a good reputable source to get them done with. You know, it's a great place. Hang out. The people are really super friendly. That's something else I really like. You know, no snobbery, no attitudes, no backstabbing. It's a good, friendly place. Everybody just wants to help everyone else do their version of Gallifrey in the universe, you know, how it is on their own planet. And it's just a great community. You know, I recommend it highly. So, do we want to say anything else about Gallifrey?
Well, there's that one lady we talked to that did the Vampires of Venice.
The Madame Calvieri,
yes,
outfit with the gorgeous, I don't know the technical term for it, but it's the cowling in the back that stands up over the shoulders.
Yeah.
She was fantastic. We're actually going to have her as a guest. It was only because of Mad Woman's emergency with her dad that we couldn't schedule her, but I think Krypton Radio is going to help us schedule her in, and she's a local gal.
And she's also a chef.
She's fantastic.
It's like two of my fandoms right there.
Oh, great, great.
If I'm not watching Cartoon Network, I'm watching the Food Network.
Yeah, yeah. So she's really, really nice. And I got some photos of her. Those will go up on the website, too. A quick note about the website. All of the links are working now. Theoretically, I did go through them. I caught others the next night. I fixed those. But all the show notes are linked back up. And all of the podcasts on the new website. Excuse me. It's a little more secure. It hangs together a little better. I'm going to get the site map up. Right now, you don't need that to navigate it. We've got synopses on the front page of the last few podcasts. We've got our contact information links. It's all good. It took me about it probably took about 7 straight hours one night, 5 the next. It was like a total of 12 hours to get those archives back up. It was just driving me nuts, and I tried so hard to get it done before Gallifrey, and it wasn't going to happen. So after Gallifrey last week, I just went in there and, you know, cooked my brain doing it. So it's up. It looks awesome. It is corsairs-closet.com. You must go there. You must go there now. Well, at least wait until after the podcast is done.
And go often.
Yes. Go early, go often, and hook up to us on our Facebook page, Corsairs Closet. Do the search. Join. Buy the t-shirt. Praise us in the streets. We will love you forever. Twitter, you can look up Mad Woman WA Box for Mad Woman. And I am time_siren. The awful husband does not lurk there because he doesn't feel it's his bag. Twitter is really just kind of more real-time stuff. And he's busy with other endeavors.
I just don't find I have that much on a day-to-day basis to Twitter.
Yeah, you don't. I mean,
now, what I find useful is when, like at Gallifrey, and people are tweeting back and forth to meet each other. Like the TARDIS pods, you know, we're meeting here or meeting there.
Yeah.
Or some of the podcasters will say, hey, come join us at the bar or something.
Yeah.
Then it's a community thing where we're all communicating to each other. But on a daily basis, I just don't really have a need for Twitter.
And I wouldn't even recommend it to my social media clients. If that's not what they're doing, it isn't going to do them any good. So that's perfectly fine. We are where you hang out. And if we aren't, you need to come and see the wonderful things that we're doing. So...
Oh, there's one other thing about Gallifrey I want to mention. There was this guy. His name is Mike Horner. And he does a thing called the Tiny Wimey Puppet Show.
Oh, I saw that.
And I missed the panel, but he was going around in the hallways. He has this, basically a cloth TARDIS that he wears around him so you can't see him. But above him, he has puppets of like the Doctor and a Cyberman or a Dalek. Or a Silurian.
Oh, I didn't
And they do a puppet
that.
Show.
That's
and he's going around and handing out cards and doing jokes and all this. So, and you can find him on Facebook, and you can find him on YouTube. So look for the Tiny Whiny Puppet Show.
That's great.
He was really funny and it's cute. And I just think it's hilarious that here we have a TV show with the best technological graphics and CGI and all this. You know, the most amazing scientific, you know, TV production you can make. And it all goes back down to one of the oldest forms of entertainment, which is a puppet show. It just runs the gamut.
I wonder if he was inspired by the Christmas episode.
That could be, yeah.
Yeah, because, yeah, I love that they do that. And, you know, in England, they still have puppet shows. It's still a big thing. So I don't think that's ever really going to die out. They've even mentioned them, I think, in Big Finishes. So... why not? Why the heck not? It all comes back to the human element anyway.
Yes.
So we haven't seen a movie in months, and we've been struggling through all sorts of obstacles, but there was one. It was see it or bust, and after Gallifrey, we finally got the time. What did we see, Awful Husband?
Well, I couldn't exactly call myself the Awful Husband if I didn't go see the Lego movie.
Yay!
For those of you who don't remember, awful means adult fan of Lego.
Awesome!
And I had to wait 3 weeks to see this, because again, the week it came out was the Writers' Conference, and the following week was Gallifrey, so I had to wait 3 weeks, but it was worth it.
Yeah.
I just wish I had seen it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was definitely a good movie. And as of, I'm not the only person that thinks that, because that was as of February 23rd, worldwide it had made over $234 million.
Hello.
So I think Warner Brothers had a good idea to go with this movie.
Yeah, really.
But if you see the commercial, you know it's about Emmett, and he has to save the world. And he has to save the world by being a master builder. There's a different levels you can enjoy this movie. You enjoy this movie as a kid or a regular moviegoer, just for the story.
Mm-hmm.
If you've built with Lego any time in your life as a kid or as an adult, there's a whole other level to it, because they bring in things that, as a Lego builder, you would know. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but the great weapon that's going to ruin the world as they know it is something that makes a Lego minifigure cringe and makes a Lego builder cringe. And that's all I'll say. But it works on two levels. And then if you're an awful like me, there's whole other levels that it's not just the story told in Lego, but it really encompasses the entire Lego philosophy.
Cool.
And maybe a year from now, I'll re-review it where I don't have to worry about spoilers, but I don't want to ruin it for everybody.
Yeah, it really was nice. And it had a, oh, didn't see that coming element to it, which pretty rare in movies these days. You know, you've practically seen everything. So
yeah, there's a
what
twist.
Is there left to surprise?
There's a twist there that if I told you, it would be a spoiler, so I won't tell you it. But it was a surprise, but it was well planned. And as I've been saying as a writer, when you have a twist at the end, you have to set it up at the beginning. And this was set up really perfectly, even though it was totally out of left field when it came. But you accepted it because you understood where it came from.
Right, right.
But anyway, Emmett has to be a master builder. And a master builder is these characters who can take their world they live in and just change and make wonderful things out of it. And it's all about creativity.
Yeah.
But poor Emmett, you see him in the morning, he does everything by instructions. He gets to the morning and picks up his instructions to, like, wash his hair, take a shower, eat breakfast, say hello to the neighbors. He does everything by instructions.
Yeah, it's pretty by the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he really has to become one of these legendary master builders. He's going to have to go save them. in order to save his world.
Completely out of his comfort zone. It was a really cute movie.
Yeah. And there are parts of it that reminded me of The Matrix.
Yeah.
If you've seen the commercial, if you've seen the commercials for it, you know the girl Wildfire.
Yeah.
She rescues him from the evil policemen. They're trying to torture him and stop him from saving the world. And they have no means of escaping. So she builds that motorcycle just out of things in the alley.
Yeah.
And the way she sees things is completely different. Like kind of the Matrix when Neo realizes his whole world is a fantasy. It's all computer generated. And the laws of physics don't apply. And he can fly into all these other things. Because he realizes his world and anything he wants to make out of it.
Yeah, basically. His vision literally changes and he seizes basically the source code of everything.
Well, in this one, Wildfire, and then at the end, Emmett, when they look at things to build, she doesn't see things like tables and chairs or whatever in the alley. She sees parts and she sees the code, the actual code numbers.
Yeah.
And she takes things like a gear and makes a wheel out of it, which is taking it out of its normal usage and just reusing it.
Yeah.
And she can just build things on the fly, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is all about imagination.
It is.
And breaking, you know, not using the instructions, using your imagination to build anything you need, everything you want, the things you need to save the world.
Yeah.
So it was really awesome. And that's the thing, the song. Everything is awesome.
Yeah. He's been running around all week, folks, just bubbling with that song.
Well, it speaks to me because one of the lines is, everything is awesome when you're building your dream. So the movie talked to me on another level. The music, Everything is Awesome, there's one line in the theme that says, everything is awesome when you're building your dream.
Yeah.
And that's what this podcast is about, building your dreams. Where it's your dream costume, like our friend Krista in New York, who built the Grinch from scratch.
Yeah.
With friends like ours, like my sister who sculpted her mask and discolory eye contacts and the actual fur that they used in the movie. You know, that was building your dream. My dream is to build my career as a writer. So it fits with the theme of this show and it fits with what I'm trying to do. So
yeah.
Everything is awesome when you're building your dream. So I really believe that.
Yeah, it sure is. And if it's meant to be, it's going to go really, you'll have very few, if any, barriers to it.
Yeah.
And it'll just flow. That's what we've discovered with the Grinch costume. So, yeah, that's awesome.
There are some surprising voices in there. The Millennium Falcon makes a little surprise appearance there.
Yeah.
And Anthony Daniel reprises his role as C-3PO. I don't think you'll ever find anybody doing C-3PO but Anthony Daniels.
Yeah.
Let's see. Morgan Freeman was in there.
I thought I recognized his voice.
Yeah, he's the old sage Vitruvius.
The old wizard. Yes. Just call him the old wizard. Good enough. We know who you're talking about.
But he was in there. Will Ferrell plays the bad guy, Lord Business, or President Business. He goes by both names. Liam Neeson was Good Cop, Bad Cop.
Oh, yeah. He's a funny character.
Yeah, because the cop is, you know, is yelling at the Emmett to tell him the secret where the piece of resistance is, which is one thing that can stop the weapon. And Emmett's going, I've seen a lot of TV shows. Isn't there supposed to be a good cop here? And his face spins around. He's both a good cop and a bad cop.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Which is something Lego has done. Some headpieces of their minifigures have two faces on it.
Didn't you say that started with Two-Face in the Batman series?
It started with Two-Face. He had the good guy, and then spin it around, he was bad guy.
Yeah.
So they've used that in a couple of different occasions, where they had one, like a happy face or a sad face.
That's pretty funny.
Let's see. Shaquille O'Neal did Shaquille O'Neal.
I like that.
And if you're wondering what that's about 10 years ago, Lego put out these basketball sets where they actually made minifigures to look like basketball stars.
Uh-huh.
And they also did that for soccer for a while.
I think I remember that.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, what's up with this?
Yeah, it was a sports theme they did for a while.
Yeah.
Let's see who else. Oh, Billy Dee Williams did Lando.
Yes, of course.
And because of C-3PO, we thought maybe Han Solo was Han Solo, but no. It was a guy named Keith Ferguson, but we did recognize him because he also plays Han Solo in Robot Chicken.
Yes! Yes, which I've been catching late at night when I get home from caregiving.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's... It was a really cute movie.
And
really
the Green Lantern was in there,
yeah,
played by Jonah Hill, who also plays Snotlout on How to Train Your Dragon. So those are just kind of the interesting voice actors I found of that.
Yeah.
Now I found this on IMDb, Internet Movie Database. If you go there, they have the whole plot, so it will be spoilers, just letting you know.
Yeah.
But this has been in development since 2008, so it's been around for a while.
Well, yeah.
And they finally got the go-ahead in 2011 to start producing it. The DVD and Blu-ray will be out on August 19th, so you know where I'm going to be that day.
Yes.
And on February 21st, which is like 2 weeks after it opened, they've already announced that there will be a sequel in 2017. So I'm already looking forward to that. Oh, and we're just at the Lego store at Topanga Mall.
Yeah.
We already have some sets out, which includes the Captain Metalbeard's pirate ship, which I was surprised. That is a huge set.
It is very tall.
It has 2,700 pieces and costs $250. This is for your serious Lego collectors.
Yeah.
But it's an awesome ship. It is really good. It's really well built.
It was gorgeous. It really was.
And they're all together going to have 17 sets. I don't think they're all out yet. With a total of 16 minifigures. Now they're saying there's 16 collectible minifigures.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Well, if you notice the commercials for Lego these days.
Yeah.
And this is recent. They'll say, you know, whatever set it is. And comes with so many minifigures.
Uh-huh.
They never used to say that before, but minifigures had become a collectible item. In fact, there's a whole hardcover book only on minifigures, the history of minifigures. Yeah.
And to tie this into cosplay, in case you people are wondering why in the world we're rambling about this, besides the fact I have an awful Lego collecting husband, there have been many people that have cosplayed life-size Lego figures. There have been pictures from San Diego Comic-Con, and I'm sure Dragon Con and other big ones, where they will have superheroes, they'll have people dress up as Lego superheroes, and they'll have, like, you know, 10 or 20 of them in one photo shot. So they're actually, the figures are a good source
that is a cosplay,
for
yes.
your cosplay needs, and exactly how the costume is put together. So how many people can say that? I think that's awesome.
Now, if you look at the commercials, it looks like they stop motion photography real Lego action figures. It's actually CGI.
Yeah.
But it looks like they actually filmed the set. But considering it's 3D,
yeah,
it'd be very hard to get a camera that big shooting figures that small. So I can see why you're doing CGI.
Yeah. Yeah. It was amazing. Yeah. So go see it. It's really cute. I know this one is going to, this big kid of mine is going to drag me back to see it again.
Oh, I definitely want to see it again.
Yeah.
There's... Plus, I have one more cup to collect from McDonald's.
Uh-huh. Ah, yes.
Moving right along.
Yes, moving right along. We had a couple of interesting, amusing little pieces over the last week or two I wanted to go over quickly. Star Wars made a runway cameo appearance at Rodarte's Fall-Winter 2014 collection at New York Fashion Week. Now, this... I'm sorry. This... Really, seriously. I mean, it doesn't fall under cosplay. It is science fiction, but it doesn't really fall under the idea of a unique and amazing dress. It's basically screen prints of the classic iconic images from Star Wars from their first, the first movie, A New Hope. It says it was all about the quirky nostalgia. Yeah, on... The nostalgia is going to be in how they're going to ravage your pocketbook getting these things. I mean, you could probably just go to Spoonflower, get a print made, and make a dress out of it. And I'm sure it's not going to cost you the $1,200 plus or whatever these dresses are worth. But there's one of Luke looking at the twin sons of Tatooine. There's one of the Death Star. There's one of Yoda in the swamp. One of the twin sons of Tatooine. There's one of C-3PO and R2, that classic shot. I just thought, why? Why on earth are they doing this?
Yeah, from the title you told me, I go, whoa, that sounds interesting. Is this, you know, wear, you know, daily wear based on the costuming? No, it's just prints on a regular dress.
Yeah, it was like, okay, yeah. And it just, I laugh at what comes off the runway. This, yeah, nostalgia, okay, it's good, but we've been doing the nostalgia now for 30 years. People kind of get with the program.
You know, it's mundanes trying to be cool as opposed to fans actually being cool.
They actually have. Well, you know, I guess they were fans if they decided they wanted to take a chance with this on a New York runway. So you got to give him some credit for that. But we just thought it was kind of a weird, amusing thing. Popped up on Facebook. Some of the cosplay sites were talking about it, so why not?
I'm sure serious costume readers are going, just chuckling to him and says, oh, you're so cute, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Something I caught out of a magazine, it's io9.com. Once in a while, we reference articles from them. They're a British science fiction magazine. And it was something called Where Armor Meets Corset. They're done by a gentleman named Andrew Konovov. I'm slaughtering that name. And it looks like someone took a laser cutter or an X-Acto knife to a leather corset, and they basically, Celtic knot worked the hell out of it. It's gorgeous. It's fully laced in the back, and it's just amazing. There's knot work, there's bird's heads, you know, on the hip part on front. It's just breathtaking. You know, it's not really practical. I mean, it's sure not going to stop a sword, I don't think. But the decor of it, they have a couple of versions. One of them is kind of this burnished brownish color. And another one, which I'm just seeing here, is beautiful. It looks like it kind of mimics copper when it's aged. And it's got that green patina on it. Just breathtaking. It's a very Art Nouveau feeling, they're saying. And I'm going to put a link for this again on the show notes, because you really got to see this kind of stuff. It will inspire you if you're creative, if you think that, you know, this can add something to anything you're doing, whether in, you know, actually physically or in the inspiration, or just lights the fire under your tail to get your costume done, because it's just gorgeous stuff.
It is beautiful leather work. It is very, very well done. It's kind of like, it looks like something Xena would wear if Xena was Celtic.
Yes. Yes. And then again, it wouldn't stop a sword, but it would sure stop a man dead in his tracks if this is all she was wearing. Yeah, so I'd rather see this on the New York runway any day, because there is so much intense work on this thing, it's mind-blowing. So, we go from there, from New York, back to California, Carlsbad. And in the San Diego Reader, this, again, was about a week or two ago. Oh, it looks like, yeah. I'm telling you, we have been generally accepted in the mainstream. I mean, I can wear my cloak out. I know 99% of the time I get compliments. I think in 4 years I've been wearing it, I've had two negative reactions. Whatever. Carlsbad Mall security banishes a steampunk group. This was interesting. 40 people in steampunk garb, Victorian dress meets sci-fi time traveler, for those that aren't familiar with steampunk, were turned away from Westfield Plaza Mall in Carlsbad on February 9th. Mall security told them to leave because they were breaking the mall's code of conduct. And they were saying that the code states wearing apparel that disguises, obscures, or conceals the face, and that's not allowed. Well, the pictures I'm looking at, the only thing concealing their face are very hairy beards, top hats, and sunglasses. And they could have been asked to remove these, but they were not even given the chance or the option to do that. No one, you know, said, please remove your hats and other costume items. They just told them they had to leave. And they basically ushered them out. And a couple of the cosplayers said they felt corralled out. They were just breaking maybe a code of conduct. It wasn't like they were caught shoplifting or anything. And they went out, they were met by Oceanside police and patrol cars who just wanted to make sure that, you know, they were, you know, not causing trouble because the mall security called. Well, it was ridiculous. I mean, they were dead. They were called riffraff. We know we were told it was keep riffraff out, quote unquote. And that's, you know, they said this was variously described as gangs, people in vampire costumes, you know, a group that came to ride the carousel last week while wearing horse head masks. You know, they're not responsible. It's not their fault, whatever anyone else wears. These people were very nicely dressed. They were not threatening. Anybody looking at them would not think that they were threatening. You know, it's really sad. Mall management said it was probably just a misunderstanding, but they wanted to remain anonymous. So they're kind of hiding in the back shadows there. They said all Westfield malls have this code of conduct. Well, I'm going to wear, you know, I've worn my cape over at Westfield Mall. Sorry, I've had my hood on. No mall security came to throw me out. It was just these people being targeted. And they, you know, they were asked to call back the next day and talk to the district general manager. She stalled them off by saying, your secretary was saying she was in meetings, she's in conference calls. No one returned the call. This is just ridiculous. When it was pointed out to them that, you know, El Cajon Mall had no problem with them, and it's a Westfield mall, you know, they said no comment. What's that? What do you mean no comment? You mean, oh, you got me there. I better not say anything, so I'm going to fall back on no comment.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's ridiculous. Come on, people. Get a life. That's, you know, I hate this, the day where we were treated like this. There are still some idiots out there that will do it. So there isn't much you can do about it, but just be aware, you know, if you're going to wear something really unusual and you're going to a Westfield mall, you know, that might, something like this might happen. It's just kind of good to travel, you know, with one or two other people and, you know, just in case something happens or you need a witness, just, you know, security being weirder or rougher or meaner than usual. And you won't have to worry about, you know, this kind of attitude. So, anyway, we're actually running a little bit short on time here. I wanted to point out there was a contest winner for Spoonflower.com. They're the people that make all the wonderful fabrics for that actually people just send in their own graphic designs. And at the convention, actually at Gallifrey, there was a vendor. You walked in, they were to the immediate left. They had corsets and bags that were made out of Spoonflower's fabric, and they were beautiful. They were all Doctor Who. You can go there and find really neat stuff. There's a gal that, this contest winner, her name was Anna Linnea. She had Monster High cosplay fabrics, and they were really adorable. They're great. You know, if your kid is a Monster High fan, she can, you know, you can make a simple costume just to kind of get her started on this stuff and, you know, put her in it. They have, they're just different fabrics that the characters wear. You know, ones for, oh, I'm trying to remember the name of the characters, Frankenstein, Laguna, Claudine, Cleo, Draculaura. They all have, you know, this look. Like Laguna has one fabric that looks like little waves. Cleo, of course, has ones that look like Egyptian mummy bandages. Claudine has the animal print. They're really, really pretty. And I could picture a little girl of these just really having the time of her life. It'd be so cute.
It would.
Don't you think? It would be really adorable. So I have to go out.
We should have a kid just to dress her up.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we got to go out there and order one. so we're running out of time here, but also quickly I did want to mention that there's a cosplay sewing circle locally at the Los Angeles Science Fantasy Society in Van Nuys for April. Contact us for details. We will point you to their Facebook page. And they do a sewing circle once a month. Their host, Chaz Boston Baden, likes to run this. He runs Anime LA. And people come and they help each other with their sewing projects. They bring their sewing machines. There's lots of room to lay out your fabric and, you know, get help if you need it on a project. And he's a wonderful guy. He's been behind this for years and their convention has grown like crazy. It's a lot of fun. It's skewed to a younger crowd. And we just really enjoy going to it. We haven't been in a while, but it's fantastic. What's that, Corsair? Oh, you do really want to hear the review? Okay. Who got the Corsair hooked on Ben 10 Omniverse?
Well, you know, I was watching Cartoon Network in the console room.
Does he like the new series Galactic Monsters?
So far, so good. I mean, one of the things we like about Ben 10 is every season they change it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And so this season seems to be a lot more humorous.
Yeah.
They're doing spoofs, they're things relating to like Scooby-Doo. And
oh, I caught that. I don't think you saw this. I saw the first episode and it had Kevin 11 now has a metal dog and it sits there and goes, just like Scooby did. And there's this one scene where they're all kind of laying on the grass after they've gotten their butt kicked and it's Ben and Kevin and Gwen, and they're all sitting there going, look like we got a mystery on our hands.
And Kevin and Gwen are back, which I really like.
Yeah, mystery. Except she looks like an uber nerd. She's, oh man, just short hair, nerdy glasses. She looks all scrawny and just not, you know, like she's trying to hide.
Well, she made an appearance in Omniverse last season, and she had that look.
But she's got a great butt-kicking, alter ego, mana-powered, supercharged, you know, female to hide that all underneath that mousy look. So, and Kevin's doing his usual thing of being a dropout. He's working, but they're still, boyfriend, girlfriend, and that's why he hangs out. And I actually liked his dog because I think it might have been one that Ben took off of one of the bounty hunters trying to hunt him last season.
Oh.
But it's funny. It's I think you had mentioned, Dennis, that it was going to be more humorous.
I mean, there's always been humor in Ben 10, but it's really going more toward that. And you're taking characters like the bad guys that we've known for all these years and really playing up the humor of it.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Like, there's this big villain, so Gilgax, and there's this human that kind of looks like him and goes, yeah, I get that. And his name is Bill Gax.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're really playing up the humor end of it this year.
Yeah, it's...
Still with all the action and the transforming of all Ben 10s, but they're playing up the humor more.
Yeah. I'm just curious, because I know when Cartoon Network has been to San Diego Comic-Con and they do their little shorts... I've never seen anybody that's cosplayed Ben 10. I had to do a search for that. Go off and do a Google search. Because I'm sure there are so many amazing monsters out there. Well, some of them you obviously can't cosplay. But a lot of them you could get away with something with them.
Yeah, you could. Well, I'm sure there are a lot of people that have the talent to pull off like Gilgax or one of those creatures.
Yeah, you know, if your daddy happens to be 6'8" and... you know, built like a brick wall. Sure. Yeah. Go and do Bill Gax. That would be great. And you'll run into the guy that does his voice and you can send a video off to your relatives and scare the crap out of them by having them voice over it. So, anywho, we're going to sign off. And hopefully the Mantis Womicus will be back with us next week. We'll keep our fingers crossed for her. And I think that's it. I have to go out
do it for today.
And I have to go edit that Lego interview that we're going to put up on YouTube and create the YouTube channel and do all this wonderful stuff that actually makes this podcast hang together so you peeps can actually go see it. And we thank you for listening to us. We've doubled our numbers. We have over 200 listeners a week now. Thank you. We love you all. And we would love to have you.
Hugs.
Yes. We're doing virtual hugs here. And if you have any comments, if there's anything you want to see us talk about on the podcast, any local things going on in your neck of the woods that you want to promote, pimp, you know, there's a lot of Comic-Cons are cropping up all over the country now, Denver and Phoenix and Houston, oh my, and it's, you know, so there's something going on near you unless you live in Outer Mongolia, and for those people, I apologize.
Mongolia Con.
Yeah. And if there isn't anything, get out there and wear your costume. People will come out of the woodwork and go, hey, I like that, you know, series too. And, oh, I had an idea for a costume. That's how it starts. One person going out there, reaching out and going, hey, who else is out there is as crazy as I am? That's all it takes.
Well, you know, before the internet, you might like a show and be a fan and you don't know that anybody else around you feels the same way.
You're totally isolated, and this generation doesn't understand that.
Like, with me, when I was in my 20s or 30s, I thought I was the only adult that liked Lego. And then the Lego magazine did one article. But now with the internet, if you go to Lugnet, LUGNET, Lego users group, there's tons and tons. It's all adults.
You're all over the place. We can't get away from you. You're all hiding in the shadows out there.
And there are even Lego conventions.
Yeah.
Like science fiction conventions.
Yeah. Corsair, we have to get Awful Husband to one of those. He's been bugging me and bugging me.
That's
yes.
the biggest one.
Yeah.
East Coast.
And I don't know when the newest one is, so let's just go back in time and hit that one, okay? Okay. This is the Time Siren.
And this is the Awful Husband.
And we are signing out. Keep sewing, keep creating, keep crafting, keep in touch.
Bye.
Catch you later.